May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. When it comes to studying the gospel, it's critically important to have context. I've been reminded almost every week for 3.5 years that what comes before the passage we're studying and what comes after the passage we're studying is equally as important as what we're studying. And they're right. Context. Context. This morning, as in every day, we need to look at the gospel with a clear understanding that there are at least three contexts. The first, if what was the context when Jesus spoke words? Then, what was the context later? In this case, perhaps a century later. When the author of the gospel is speaking the words. And then, what is the context in our time and in our place? So this morning, we're going to make our way through the gospel, looking at the context of this particular passage, clearly aware of the framework around it. I want you to imagine for a moment, and believe me, the intent is not to be morbid, but I want you to imagine for a moment that about 24 hours before you die, you are put on notice that you can fill a room with the people that you love the most. Well, at least 11 or 12 of them. Share a meal and pour into them everything that you've ever learned in life. Now, this isn't meant to be egocentric. These are life lessons that you would rather they didn't have to learn the hard way. These are warnings and cautions, highlights of your life. And that in some bizarre, strange sense of joy, you were able to take that time and pour into them everything you believe and why you believe it. Before your body started to obviously break down, Jesus took this extraordinary time with some of the people he loved the most near the end of his life and poured into them everything the Heavenly Father had taught him and everything that he had learned from the people around him and the morals, ethics, and values that he believed in the most. So we look at the passage. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Live in the Father that has poured from the Father into the Son, into you. Live in that love. Furthermore, know that the love comes from the Father, has been given to the Son, and the Son passes that gift on to each one of us." So let's look at context. The context of Jesus speaking those words is a reminder to every single one of them that at the essence of life is love, and that that love comes from God, poured through Christ in his sacrificial love for us into our lives so that we can share that with everyone around us. Context is Jesus speaking those words in urgency near the end of his life. And then what's the context of the author of the passage speaking these words? Is it possible that those who are listening to the reading are in the midst of chaos and confusion, economic strife, persecution, bigotry, racism, all of their time and culture, and that they desperately needed to hear that they were loved, and that they were vessels of love in the midst of all of that. Now let's put it into our context. What does it mean right here, right now, for mothers? My wife and I often have the conversation about topics that I know nothing about. And one of them is that I have no idea how to be a mom. I certainly can't even fathom the possibility, and some will giggle at this, of men having children, of the extraordinary sacrifice that women give. If you get the feeling that I have been surrounded by extraordinarily talented, gifted, loving, compassionate women my whole life, you're right. I have been. And I give thanks to God for that blessing. But I can't imagine the responsibility of mothers, then or now, and what it means to know that you are pouring love into your children that comes from the Heavenly Father. How do you do that? I suspect that there are certain ages that it's easier to do that. Maybe when they're a little bit younger, when they're listening, when they're paying attention, when they're well behaved. But there are other times when they won't listen, can't listen, or just don't even consider listening. There are times where they make mistakes, do something profoundly wrong. And mothers are asked to come alongside of them and love them through that. Now, please don't misunderstand. I don't pretend that you are asked to like your children all the time, but to love them. To see beyond the moment, to see the potential, and to pray for your children in the good times and in the difficult times, to pass that love on to them. As Jesus spoke of it as my Father has loved me, I love you. Abide in that love, live in that love, pass that love on to the next generations. And keep my commandments. For that's how you abide in love. We know that children watch their parents. And it doesn't take long for them to figure out if the great philosophy is do what I do, or is it don't bother watching what I do, just do what I say. Here's where it all changes. In the next phrase, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What's the context of that when Jesus speaks it? Well, that's really clear. He knows he's about to die. He knows it is a torturous, horrendous, unbelievably abusive death, and still is willing. Still is willing, out of love for humanity. More impressive, love for every single one of us. You and me. What is the context for the writer? To lay down one's life. It's probably important to note that when this has been written and is being shared with the community, they are in the midst of profound conflict. There is a deep and profound sense that at every turn, they are not safe on the street. They may not even be safe in their homes. And then thousands of years later, how is it relevant right here and right now to lay down one's life? For moms, whether that's in childbirth or in raising children that make their own decisions, that place them in danger, that place them at risk. allowing them to walk out the door wondering every time, will they come home? Placing them in what we hope is in the safety of the education system, but never being quite sure about what might happen at school, what influence others will have on them, what damage control one's going to have to do when they get home. And for the mothers who are young moms and hope that this gets easier, I have some disturbing news for you. The problems of your children do not get easier as they get older. They actually get bigger, scarier. And that's why every single one of us is invited to prayer on a regular basis, asking our Lord and Savior to surround them in love, care, and protection. One more thought. When it comes to the context of when Jesus spoke it, when it was lived out years later in that community, when it was written, and now. And that is this one. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. When it was spoken, Jesus wanted the disciples to understand that they were not an accident. They were a deliberate choice, that he intended to spend this time. He intended to pour this love into them. And that they would witness the great sacrifice of love, the ultimate price to be paid. Years later, when it was being read by others, by an author in the context of a different time, it's so incredibly clear, I choose you. Why am I in the midst of all of this chaos and confusion, they would have asked, because I've chosen you to be the voice in a difficult generation. I would say to you that hasn't changed. I would say to you that we, again, are in a difficult generation with many challenges, many difficulties. And especially for moms today, this is about tenacity, endurance, persistence, all bathed in the love you have for your children. It's a difficult time. It's difficult for some because they can't see their adult children or their smaller grandchildren. The government, as you know, decided that we would have a virtual Mother's Day. I can't imagine the disappointment, the sadness, and dare I say, the anger. I can't imagine that many moms being mad at me as they might be irritated with the government, even though it's being done for all of our safety. I want to just point this out, that we're invited to bear fruit. That means that we are invited during Jesus' time to be faithful and dedicated to him as a person and as the Christ. Years later in the context, dedicated to a faith that was at tremendous risk and vulnerability, and now to live out that faith by what we say and do in the community. For again, love. Love is action. Action in each of our relationships. To the mothers and grandmothers out there today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and grant you peace. May you know his love as you pour that love into those you love today. Amen.